You're feeling good already, aren't you? Eh? I like Toy Story. I don't think I've seen them all, but I prophesy Toy Story 17. Andy will become a granddad. Toy Story 27. They all go to heaven. So, amen. There's another film I like, which was Home Alone, which seems very appealing to us at times. But we won't go there. Yeah, God is good. He's so good. Anybody know what besom means? Where the word comes from? Yeah, it's we do bless besom, and in fact, the guy who set up besom, is he still at Vineyard? He's not there now, but he was at HDB, the church that gave us Alpha, and then this besom ministry came as well, and but the word comes from a Hebrew word. Which means to sweep away, and the idea is about sweeping away poverty, and maybe anybody have difficult seasons in life? Yeah, okay. Maybe you just want to elbow your neighbor in the ribs, wake them up, because if you don't have difficult seasons, you're already a permanent resident of heaven. But while we're here in this place, you will have difficult seasons. And maybe one of the things you want to pray at times is, God, would you just, there are things that need to be swept away. Would you sweep them away? Would you just come? And while Jerry was praying, this was the picture that I had. I just saw, it's like a man holding a brush and just gently moving around people, sweeping things away. And if you're in that place, just embrace that word. Amen? All right. Who enjoyed Bruno last week? Yeah. Did you get the why? Hey, I just thought that was such a good word. And Laurie, the week before, Lauriana, on being authentic. Yeah. Right. Who's an authentic Christian? Honestly, it's not meant to be a trick question. I know. I'm not going to put my hand up, whatever he says. He'll hang us out to dry somewhere. But who wants to be authentic? I really want to be authentic. Authentic Christians are overcomers by nature. Amen? And overcomers are overcomers because they have, and may still have things to overcome. And so we need to continue to live as overcomers because that's who we are. All right. Bruno preached last week from Romans 12, which begins, what's the first word of Romans 12? Therefore. So we're going to just take a short journey out of Hebrews 12 this morning, which also begins with the word therefore. Whenever you find the word therefore, what's the first thing you've got to do? You've got to find out what it's there for, okay? And that takes you back to the previous chapter. So it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, okay? So the therefore, flip back to to Hebrews 11, the last couple of verses. Hebrews 11 is this hall of faith, this chapter that details the patriarchs men who are known from the Old Testament, some who are not so well known. Barak would be one of them. Jephthah, most of us wouldn't know so much about them. But it's highlighting the faith that they had and the way that they lived. And it talks about the things that they overcame. But of course, most of them had issues as well. Hello? Okay. But we don't focus on that. But when we look at our lives, I mean, who are our own worst critics? Yeah. Yeah. So does God want to honor you? Does he value you? Are you incredibly important to him? That's true. And yet it's not about us. Okay? So at the end of Hebrews 11, he says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. All right. What's the story here? We are in a relay race. That's the picture. Amen? And your race is not just about you. And in our society, we're very individualistic in our mindset, and it's very easy to lose this concept. But we're in a relay race. And those that have gone before have finished their race, but the race isn't finished. And so we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on. Amen. They are cheering you and I on. Hey? Anybody run a relay race? A long time ago. Yeah, not only you. All right? But you didn't celebrate, no matter how well you did in your leg, until the race was finished. Amen? And some of us feel like we dropped the baton. Some of us feel like we weren't quite ready at the start. Lots of that stuff. But just run your race. Run the leg that you have. Amen? Okay, so that's the picture. And but the race is not yet finished. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Throw off everything that hinders. Right? That's not just sin. Okay? The greatest enemy of the best is not the bad, it's the good. We were talking about Dave Bishop, weren't we, a few days ago, who for many years pastored Yeovil Community Church. And I remember him coming and doing some training with us on time management. And I remember him saying to us, take a sheet of paper, put it into 9 boxes, and then split up all the things that you have to do in life. And the first box was the essential. The second was the very important. The third was important. The fourth was not so important, all the way down to the things that you really shouldn't be doing at all. Of course. And I remember that one being very full on Dave's paper. So he just got you to go through all your tasks in life. And then he said, do everything in the first box and half the things in the second one and nothing else. At that point, I thought, I'm going to just reassess what should be in which boxes. But it made you just focus for a moment on what we should be giving ourselves to. So there's so much that we actually need to throw off, because although it might be good in itself, it's not what we should be giving ourselves to at that point. So throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Anybody find they have a problem with sin? Yeah? A few? Yeah? Okay. There you go. That's honest. What I should do is ask for people to put up their hands. Everybody who doesn't have a problem with sin. that would be, we'd get a more honest answer then. So sin is just, it gets in the way. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay? With what? Perseverance, right? I want to tell you that there is no instant coffee in heaven. There's no instant coffee in heaven. All right? There should be no instant coffee in the Christian life. And you shouldn't make your filter coffee to taste like instant coffee. But that's another story. Okay. Perseverance. Fixing, verse 2. So we run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. How do we do that? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Who is he? The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What's the joy set before you? Heaven? Yeah. You'll get there soon enough. Don't vote for it just yet. Okay. There's something between now and then. It's called live. It's life. What is the joy set before you? What was the joy set before Jesus? Pardon? Yeah? Yeah? Us? The church? The body of Christ? His Father's love? I wonder. The joy set before us. When you're needing to press through and persevere, it's important that you find the place of joy. And the fullness of joy is where? The presence of God, in his presence. So learning to access his presence, to approach the throne of grace with boldness, not with fear and trepidation. God, it's me. I'm not very special to you. No, that's our thought. It's not his. Amen? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I think often that's our problem, isn't it? That we grow weary and we lose heart, and we do that because we don't keep our attention in the right place. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Anybody had a struggle with sin? How many of us have shed blood in that struggle? Right? Okay. That gives us perspective. It doesn't mean that in your struggle you've not had a struggle and it's not hurt and it's not been difficult. It's just a perspective that you need to keep. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one that he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. I think it's really important to understand that God is not, he's just not a rule maker who's out to impose the rules with harshness and insensitivity. God is a father who loves. John 5, 19 or 20, Jesus said, the father loves the son. So he's talking about himself. So Abba loves me. And the word he uses there is philia. The word philia means love that is felt in the senses. Jesus experienced his father's love. Steph Jones from New Day over the pond somewhere, North Carolina. She made this statement once that truth is on the tongue, but love is in the eyes. And you know the importance of presence. You say, I don't ever want to denigrate word, because word is foundational. Word sets parameters. If you move 10 centimeters away from the word, you're in trouble. But But if it's just intellectual, that's not enough. You need presence, right? Jesus told the Pharisees off one day. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have life, but you won't come to me. So we've got to come to him. Presence is in looking him in the eye, allowing him to look us in the eye. The eyes of fire, the fire of his love that burns deep into our hearts is the thing that breaks through. So we have to have that foundation. Chris and Karen have a little baby boy. Yeah? I want to suggest, I've not had a conversation with Chris yet, but I want to suggest that Chris hasn't sat Isaac on his knee and looked him in the eye and said, if you do what I say, we'll get along just fine. That's not where it starts, is it? But the way some Christians live their Christian lives, it looks like that. No, Chris is just going to be wowed. Hey, 6 pounds of sausages. It's just wow. That's it. It's wow. And for those of us that are mums and dads, if you want to just bring to your own heart your importance to him, you need to remember what you felt when your children were born. Amen? That's who they are, and that's who you are to him. Amen? When he looks at you, he says, wow. Amen? Yeah? Zach used to have two words, wow and oh no. When God looks at you, he does not say, oh no. He says, wow. Amen? And we have to have that foundation of love. Not just the fact of his love, but the experience of his love. Laughter, fun, playing together, and those poignant moments when you catch each other's eye and you feel it in your heart. And on that basis, he disciplines us. All right? Not just to keep us within the boundaries and to keep us in the right direction, but it says, verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. Verse 8, if you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate. Verse 9, moreover, we've all had fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, God is wanting to train us. So when he disciplines us, it's for our growth. He wants us to go forwards. If you don't have a sense of discipline in life, I was just talking about this with somebody yesterday, about the culture that they come from that has a far greater standard of discipline than ours does. And when we talk about discipline, we hear punishment. But God allows us to endure things to strengthen us and to keep us moving forwards. Amen. Dave mentioned Clive Jackson. One of the other things that I remember Clive saying was he's hated every wilderness season he's ever had. I have to say, so have I. But I know that we don't grow in the easy times. It's in the difficult times that we grow. If you want to see something brought to birth in your life, it's probably not going to happen without a degree of pain. Just to come back to Chris and Karen again this morning. Amen. Verse 12, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. And when I'm going to finish there, but you, whenever you're feeling weak, level paths. There's things that we've got to throw off and push out of the way. Why? So that although we might be lame in the moment, we don't go downhill to being disabled, but rather we come up to being healed. Amen? I think every one of us has seasons of struggle. Today, I don't actually focus on that. I can tell you about my seasons of struggle, and there have been quite a few. But I really don't live there, because I keep my eyes fixed on one place. And no matter what's going on around you, if your heart is in heaven and your eyes are fixed on Him, if you choose to feed your heart on the right things, you'll always stay encouraged. Amen? It's absolutely true. Anybody heard of Larry Walters? Larry Walters was a truck driver. And in the States, he lived in California. And he'd be away all week or gone for a couple of weeks, and then he'd come home at the weekend. And he lived in this area where, you know, there's lots of like back gardens that all kind of join together, and there's only wire fences between them, and he just wanted a break, and so he liked to sit out in his garden chair, listen to some music and have a sleep in the Californian sun, but there was kids playing, there was people arguing, it was kind of all going on around him, and he couldn't get any peace. So he went down to the, he went and bought, I think it was 45 balloons that he filled with helium, and he tied them to his recliner and got a rope and tied it to the bumper of his truck. And filled the balloons, laid on it, and he got a pack of sandwiches, a six-pack of lager, and a pellet gun. And let the rope out, and up he floated, up above it all, looking down, leaving the noise and the arguments and all the stuff that annoyed him behind. His mates turned up. Saw him up there, 20, 30 feet up in the air, and they cut the rope. So Larry and his garden chair shot up to up above 10,000 feet into the flight path for one of the Californian airports. The first pilot who saw him and reported it was breathalyzed when he landed. But when others reported it, they realized there was really something going on here. I mean, he was just panicked, and then he remembered he'd got his pellet gun, and he started shooting the balloons, and the garden chair began to come down. Then it unbalanced, and he fell, and he landed on the power lines, didn't touch the ground, and eventually they got him down, but it knocked the power out for miles around. And after all of this, he got arrested for, I think, for being in charge of an aircraft without a license or something. And he got fined. And on his way out of court, the press said, "Why'd you do it?" And he said, "Well, you can't just sit there." And I don't know where you are today, but I want to say to you, you can't just sit there. You got to take the word of God. You got to you have to choose. When you don't feel like it, this is the most important time. When you don't feel like it, you need to choose to. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Amen. And if you do, you will find encouragement, you will renew your vision, you'll begin to run, and you won't grow faint. Amen. We sang a song earlier about surrender. I surrender all. Hey, if only that were true. Hey, but I want it to be true. It's more true for me now than it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, I think. Okay? But you can't just sit there. You've got to run. You've got to lift your eyes up. You've got to fix your eyes on him. I don't know how you actually do that. For me, I always go to the cross. That's almost always the place that I begin. Come back to the cross and fix my eyes on Jesus. Remind myself again of the price that he paid for me, the reason that he did it, how important that makes me to him, the value that he puts on my life, which is his own life. He sacrificed himself for me. And I'm now caught up in this race, in this relay race. I have a leg to run. I want to finish my leg well. Amen. I want to run with passion. I want to run with fire. I want to be running the day that I finally go to be with him. Amen. Let's stand together. Where are we? Sam, could you come back? Sam, John, Pam. God is for you, not against you. Amen. He's for you far more than you'll ever appreciate. Yeah. And maybe one of the things that you can do today, we're going to have the ministry team out. So Ruth and John and others that are on ministry team this morning, if you could come. And I want to just invite you to take maybe it's a first step and say, well, I just want to get my heart fixed on Jesus again. I want to get encouraged. I want the stuff that gets in the way. I want it swept away. And so I just want to encourage you to come and have a few moments with one of the ministry team and receive some prayer. It's not the end of the journey. It's just the first step. So they're going to be here across the front. Once we've finished worshiping, if you want to go and have a coffee, then please do so. Just please respect the ministry that's going on here this morning, we want you to fellowship and enjoy being together, but do that upstairs if you would. So thank you. Yeah.